Gange Bogamudanvati. Dvayi me nanya vishaya. Matir madhu pate sakre. Ratim utvahatat adha. Gange Bogamudanvati. Dvayi me nanya vishaya. Matir madhu pate sakre. Ratim utvahatat adha. Gange Bogamudanvati. This is one of the prayers of Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti, when she spoke those prayers, remembered her three lives. She was the protected child of King Kunti Bhoja, and then was sent to the court of a childless friend king, and then she was married to Pandu and witnessed his sudden and dramatic departure. And then she brought up her sons and experienced the greatest misery for a mother. Her son Arjuna faced her son Karna in deadly combat. It was clear one of the two beloved sons of Kunti would not rise after that encounter. And she could not say anything. She could not reveal her heart. How traumatic. We all know that finally her son Karna, the brother of Arjuna, was on the battlefield and his head was severed from the trunk of the body. Kunti saw that. Her heart was at that moment separated in two. And sometimes after this, she said this prayer, a prayer which at times we all say when we are seeing how difficult our life can be in this world. Now, I thank you so much. This is the translation. She understood that all relations in this world can, when the circumstances change, become sources of disappointment and trouble. So there's only one relationship which is not affected by changing circumstances. To whom? To Krishna, yes, you know. So this is what she says. O Lord of Madhu, I have a wish. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. I'm reading from the last paragraph of the beautiful puppet. Kunti's affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Yesterday, we all turned to each other with the best of wishes. We tried to serve each other. And today, I have heard there is another surprise waiting for us. Sometimes service to the devotee is even more valuable than service to the Lord. But here, the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Rishis was due to family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. I remember when I stood at the deathbed of my mother just 2 months ago, my mother looked at me and she had been a great influence. She was a very spiritual person and talked to us children like this. She said, "Soon I will be in another body and perhaps you will not recognize me. What do you have to say to me now?" Then I said, "I wish you well. I'm grateful for what you did, and I will pray that you will move on to the desired destination of your soul." And she said, "Thank you." Relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul, these are factual relations. But temporary relations? When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the medium of the relation with the super soul. Please, this now listen very carefully. This is very pregnant with deep, deep meaning. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. I always quote this when I usually think sannyasis should not go to marriages, but sometimes it seems when the relationship is so thick and thin that there's another consideration, that let the fatherly figure give some blessing. Yes, and I always say, this marriage which you do, there should be a third person there. And the audience, which is there, gasps, "What? A third person? You're cursing this relationship." We know when there's a third person, the woman is attached to another, the third person, or the man is attached to another woman, the third person. No, it's ruined. But I always say, Krishna should be there, because this is so clear. When we are together as human beings, human being one is in darkness, human being B is two is in darkness. We don't know clearly who we are. But when there is darkness and all of a sudden the sun rises, oh, then in the darkness you can see. The darkness is no longer there. So the darkness which happens in material relationships, as nice as you want to design them, is dispelled at once if there is the spiritual center of Krishna. And Prabhupada says, that is the way of devotional service. That's the bhakti way, no? Krishna's in the center. And then both partners can see each other's, their needs, and can also solve things which need to be solved. Good. The point here which I would like you to focus is Kunti Devi prays for the blessing that her affection is going directly to Krishna. And she gives the example of the Ganga, which flows from the icy glaciers of the Himalayas through the countryside, always having one goal in mind, that is the ocean. So in the same way as the Ganga pushes all rocks and all obstacles out of her way, on the way to meet her husband, the ocean, it's sometimes said like this, in the same way devotee says, I want to come to Krishna. But this is coming only from the hearts of and the lips of a confidential devotee of the Lord. We have prepared for you another of these insightful lists. Some of it I take from Keshava Maharaj, a very wonderful devotee and dear associate. What is a conventional devotee like? The three devotees, a conventional devotee, a committed devotee, and a confidential devotee. And as you hear this, you might get a clue where you are now and where you can go if you are interested in spiritual advancement. So the conventional devotee has a certain focus. He's focused on their identity and social position. You know, how am I seen in the group? What do I contribute to the group, and so on? And they are usually attached to the externals of whatever they are following. Yes, you can see conventional devotees coming into the temple room, and then they take off their hat, perhaps, they take off their shoes, they're extremely humble for some time, they take a selfie with the deity. I was there, and they posted on their Facebook, I'm a pious Hindu, yes, or a good Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and so on. Such a devotee says, yes, Krishna is part of my life on a Sunday, or on some days of the week, or during the Holy Name immersion retreat, you know? He stays in his social circle, and so on. Now there is a committed devotee. He is concerned or focused on his practice, his sadhana. He doesn't just want to look good according to his dress and his haircut and some things which he puts out in the externals of Facebook and so on. He is deeply committed to the practice of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, and service, and he wants to use his senses actively for Krishna. Krishna, for such a devotee, is no longer a part of some sections of his life. No, Krishna is the part of every part of their life. He wakes up, Hare Krishna, under the shower, it's Hare Krishna. Even when no one looks, he is doing service. I'm sometimes thinking sometimes on Ratha Yatra, we invite politicians to sweep the street. Yeah, do you also do this in America? I think so. And then the politician has three cameramen there, who he's an Indian politician, and he sweeps and looks extremely pious. He has folded his hands over the broom. It looks really nifty on Facebook. And then once he has done this, and the cameras are out, he goes, "Hogya, it's done." And he puts the broom away and does other things. No? The committed devotee now wants to always use his senses actively to serve Krishna. But there is something more. There is the confidential devotee. He is focused actually on Krishna. It's nice, my dear devotees, to be absorbed in your service to Krishna. You are definitely a committed devotee. But it's also a service to be absorbed in Krishna. And that's what a confidential devotee is like. He thinks about Krishna's personality, his charm, you know, means his attractiveness, his name, his quality. And he wants to see that Krishna pervades their minds more than anything. Such a confidential devotee is different from the conventional devotee. The conventional devotee, remember, Krishna is part of my life sometimes. No? I think of him sometimes. The committed devotee will think, no, Krishna is part of every part of their life. But the confidential devotee, well, they want to enter Krishna's life. They lose the sense of their own lives. Do you get it? I know some of you are engaged really in copying this. We will leave it on because it's good to listen. If your attention goes now into writing, you will be, I am also a note taker, you will be in stress. Oh my God, hopefully I catch everything. We will put it on and you can make a snapshot with your mobile telephone or write it in peace in your thing. The conventional devotee has a certain attitude. Let's go there. They are always asking something from Krishna. I remember before Krishna consciousness, I was a wild boy, and I would always pray to Krishna, "Oh my dear Lord, make me I was a Christian. Oh God, make me a little bit more pious so that I can enter into heavens after my panorama drama is over, or my karma drama is over," and so on. We always have something to ask from Krishna when we are conventional devotee. The committed devotee tries to surrender as much time and service as possible. He cannot yet be 100% of his time with Krishna, but he is committed. As much as possible, I'd gladly give. The confidential devotee has a different attitude. He wants to be close to Krishna. They want to place Krishna's desires above their own desires. And at all times, they become kinkaris. Kinkari means a very confidential devotee who asks the question, "What can I do for you?" This brings us immediately and quickly to the verse of today from the Shikshastakam, which is informing us about our spiritual, the most powerful motor or motivating factor that brings us forward in spiritual life. I must say I brought everything except the Shikshastakam prayers. Does someone just have a sheet of the prayers then I could see? Thank you. So can we please repeat this together? If you have the sheet of paper with you, please repeat. If you don't have it, you will somehow stumble along. That's all, most of you know this also. Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam budho kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dulisadisham vichintaya. Here you see the confidential devotee. He wants to enter Krishna's world. He doesn't want to make Krishna part of his tiny little self-constructed world. No. He says, O son of Nanda, I'm actually your eternal servant. But now I have fallen into the violent ocean of material existence. Mercifully place me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. The conventional devotee wants to stay in this world, wants to do his things his way, and yes, sometimes give some result to Krishna. The confidential devotee actually longs for Krishna because he understands this world is a dream only. The dream is also good. Patanjali says the world is good for two things. Listen carefully. It will be very important for you to understand. First thing, to make experiences. To learn. To make multiple experiences. And the other is for moksha or mukti or liberation. So when a soul has made the experience, oh yes, this is the shadow world. It resembles the real world, but it doesn't have the satisfying substance. Then he doesn't chase shadows any longer. And he says, I close my chapter here. I want to now move towards Krishna. I want to go to him. This is very important. I personally observe in my being not just one type of devotee. Sometimes I'm a committed devotee. Sometimes I'm also a conventional devotee. For instance, I thought when I was sick, now, today is my first day when I'm better. Oh, why did I go to America? America. Why not stay? I have good Gaurabhavan, ashram at the lake. Very nice situation. Good prashadam. Enough. And I can do service. I was thinking a little bit of my comfort zone. Not so much about where I can surrender to Krishna. Then today I'm a committed devotee. I want to really give my best. And when I'm in Vrindavan, I think, wow, there is the world of Vrindavan. Like today, I was sitting there and I saw this beautiful picture of Krishna Balaram running at the banks of the Jamuna. Please, you must see this and make a snapshot of that photo also, of that picture. And I thought I would run along the banks of the Jamuna and so on. Confidential thoughts came. Good. Do you understand it?
Yes.
Is it interesting?
Yes.
I find it very, very revealing, very revealing. But I think in our spiritual life, we should all have an aspiration to go back to Godhead, no? To leave our self-constructed narrative stories about us. And go to Krishna. Good. Prabhupada has once given a beautiful lecture. It was in 1969, where he instructed the devotees to think about this becoming confidential devotees when they chant. He said, imagine new devotees, in some of their veins still some substances are floating from previous use, no? But he addresses them. So we are addressing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, the energy of the Lord. Who's that? Radharani. Yes. Oh, the energy of the Lord. Oh, the Lord, please accept me. Then something changes in Prabhupada's mood and voice. He becomes very thoughtful and overwhelmed with his own devotional feelings. And he continues, that's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. That's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting him, please accept me. Please accept me. Twice he says it. Throughout Prabhupada's teachings, you can see that he wants to direct us to exit illusions or Maya's kingdom, to understand the lessons we have learned there already, and to move towards Krishna. In this Bhagavatam commentary, he says, for instance, this crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. My dear devotees, are you sometimes thinking of Krishna, whom you have forgotten and left? The whole thing about what you're doing is to start to remember him with some feelings. You shouldn't think it's all right that you are separated from Krishna. It's all right. No, everyone is like this. I always like to say, there's a saying about the Apache Native Americans, you know. When your horse is dead, don't just sit on your dead horse and say that the horse of my neighbor is also dead. He's in the same precarious situation and be satisfied. No, get a new horse, you know, and continue. So, yes, on our journey, we should grieve. We have not waken up from the dream sufficiently. Within the dream of material life, we also cry. These are the tears of the samsarika, the person who is caught in the repeated wheel of birth and death. He cries out of frustration. Madhvacharya says, if you would add all the tears of the conditioned souls in this world, you would obtain an ocean of tears. Samsarika tears, they are unavoidable. I'm trying to counsel devotees, seeing the devotees, I have a thing with tissue papers for the eyes. And also men cry, not just women. Then there are the tears of the Prakriti Sahajiya, who wants to attract attention to himself. I'm so advanced, look at me, I'm emotionally moved. Then there are the tears of a Sadaka, who is disillusioned and who thinks, oh my God, I missed the point for so long. Oof. Rupa Goswami says, humility comes when you understand you have made a mistake. I was mistaken. And then there are the tears of the citta, the tears of love. Now, these particular devotional feelings, my dear devotees, are all arrested in your heart. They are there. I have studied three older devotees while I was there, and I have seen that they have built an armor around their hearts. They have seen so much difficulties that in order to protect themselves, they have three I have already identified here. One older devotee, two not so old devotees. Names are not given here in a public. But all of us, also the busy people amongst yourselves, or all of us, have somewhere these very sweet emotions of longing for the perfected state, and so on. And you will be able to release these powerful spiritual emotions, which are pent up, is it called pent up, or in the heart, through one particular very nice method, which is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes in a lake you have this floodgate, is it called a floodgate? When you open it, the lake comes out. We all have a floodgate. In a German language, ein Wehr. Wehr means, in German language, is a word to wehren, sich, to defend oneself. We have a defensive floodgate here on our hearts. We are invested with our emotions, mostly in ourselves, in our well-being, or in this world. But this is meant to be released so that it can flow in the right direction to Krishna. No? So this is longing. Longing for Krishna. Which comes when you wake up to the situation, I'm now separated from Krishna. If you understand this. George Harrison said, well, separated? We are always together with Krishna Prabhupada. Prabhupada appreciated the sentiment that yes, God is everywhere. And he said, yes, he's everywhere like the sun is everywhere. But like the sun is sometimes clouded, and then we can't see the full sunlight, then we're feeling chilly. We're feeling cold. Those who are from England know this. The sky is always overcast with clouds. So in the same way, yes, and there are still, of course, a little light is there. But my dear devotees, the full bright sunlight of Krishna consciousness will turn you into an ecstatic human being. Wow! A truly blissful person. Yes, we can appreciate Krishna's presence everywhere, but this is not yet ecstasy. Huh? So, this longing you might feel, you want to hear a little bit more about it. And by Krishna's mercy, I found yesterday this quotation which I had read it millions of years ago. Well, I mean, not millions, 20 years ago, but then I didn't know where it was. And I found it yesterday with the help of my computer knowing a team. Mm-hmm. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about the need to understand we are separated at the moment from Krishna. We are not fully connected. He says, it is essential for the sadhaka jivas to cultivate only the mood of vipralamba, separation. And because they have never experienced a meeting with Krishna, their vipralamba will come only in the category of purvarag. What is purvarag? There are four states of separation. It is, one is when you were with Krishna and when Krishna leaves you for a long time. This is the feelings called pravasa, which Radharani felt when Krishna was leaving the chariot on the chariot of Akrura, the land of Vrindavan. You remember the gopis were beaten. They some tried to catch the wheels and say, Krishna, don't go. Others were throwing themselves before the horses of the chariot. Krishna, you will have to trample us before we allow you to go, before you can go. And yet others were climbing on the chariot and pulling Akrura, the chariot driver, down and were beating him. Don't take our Krishna. But Akrura took Krishna away because that was the Leela. And then they felt this separation, which is pravasa, when Krishna was in Mathura and later in Dwaraka. Then there's prema vaichitya. It is when the lovers are together, but they fear already that they will be separated. You know, once Radha and Krishna were sitting together, and a bumblebee went between the two and made it sound. And Radha was becoming so afraid because the bumblebee was so close that she took Krishna, took shelter of Krishna by embracing him. And then one confidential cowherd boy, Madhu Mangal, saw this and shooed the bumblebee away and then explained proudly, I have chased Madhusudan away. So Radharani, Krishna is also Madhusudan, and understood, oh no, my worst fears are confirmed. Krishna is not there any longer. Prema vaichitya, a particular ecstatic, inconceivable feeling of divine love in separation. Mana is also there. It is a short time of separation when the divine lovers have separated due to some short quarrel, which is enhancing the nectarian flow of their divine lila. No? All these three forms of separations are inaccessible for us. You can forget them. You don't even need to make notes about them because they all relate to one thing which we have not experienced. That is the direct, lila-drenched association with Krishna. No? But there is one fourth state of separation, which is for us. It is called purvaraga, the feeling of separation that is experienced before you actually meet the Lord in an intimate, confidential relationship. Without having ever met with Krishna, how can these souls experience separation and purva raga from him? Often we are asked, how can we feel longing for Krishna? I don't remember him so clearly. I don't have a clear image. Listen, by hearing the Leela Katha of Sri Krishna from others, purva raga is awakened. Now two examples are given. This was the case with the Dvijapatnis, the Brahmanas' wives, as well as the ladies of Mathura before Krishna's arrival there. They always heard about Krishna. And then they said, oh, we would like to meet Krishna. Third example. Rukmini also had never seen Krishna. But by hearing about him from, who knows? Narada, yes. Purva raga, this anticipatory longing. He will come. This purva raga arose within her heart. Thus she became exceedingly anxious to meet with Krishna. Similarly, my dear devotees, by hearing from the Guru and Vaishnavas or by reading the Shastras, the Jivas may have purva raga, vipralamba, awakened within their hearts. Isn't it when you hear so much about another person, you actually like to meet him? Have you experienced in your life? Now I like to meet him. I have heard about one person, so many good qualities. I know one person, but he's very, very, very famous, hard to meet. But I have heard so much. Now I long to meet him. And I know my longing, when it becomes stronger, I will find a way to climb over all fences. It will carry me there. So in the same way, my dear devotees, as you hear again and again and again about one person, about Krishna, you will also feel something, because these arrested feelings are there in you. You just need to open the floodgate. And that happens by hearing, by kirtan. I have seen even completely new people who woke up as an atheist that morning, coming to a kirtan program, and all of a sudden they cry. Then I'm asking them afterwards, why did you cry? Why I cried? I'm not clear about it. What did you think while you were crying? Thinking when I'm crying? I can't think when I'm crying. No, but some mood was there. No, something. Something inside. Or were you empty when you were crying? I was first thinking, maybe I have invested in the wrong things in life. That was my first thought. My second thought, dare I say it, was there is a merciful God who can take me. Yes, we have seen many times, devotees are moved during some parts of the kirtans, because the floodgate has been opened, and you have some longing. Now follow your longing, my dear devotees. Don't shuffle it away. Don't invest it in other things which will keep you inside the dream. But follow the longing. It is your most valuable companion. Perhaps you might also apply in your life what Rumi so nicely says. I have a poem for Gauravani. We like poems. Find those who can fan your flames. Prabhupada also spoke about this concept. fanning the spark. No? There's association which can do that. Fan your spark of Krishna consciousness. There's also things which can extinguish it solidly for quite some time. Following your longing. This is the idea of this beautiful prayer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who says, "O son of Nanda, I am your eternal servant. Yes. But I have fallen into the violent ocean of material existence. There are waves here which batter me back and forth. Mercifully place me now as a particle of dust at your lotus feet." If you can imbibe your chanting with that feeling, you will very quickly meet Krishna. Prabhupada writes this. You actually, those of you who are avid note takers, find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 4, 108. 108. No. CC Adi 4, 108. Actually, Prabhupada says, meeting Krishna is possible through the attitude of separation taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the feeling of separation becomes very intense, one attains the stage of meeting with Krishna. Krishna is not a material person, my dear devotees. When we think of him intensely, he is there. When we sing with him intensely, he's there. Let us not sing with the voice of the body. The body will become tired. Let us not sing with the voice of the mind. The mind will become distracted. Let us sing with the voice of the soul, because the soul does not become tired and it does not become distracted. And this voice of the soul is this little stream, this little, sometimes you hear it only very much in the distance. "Oh Krishna, I really miss you. I might give my tears other names. Crying for, I need a new partner or a new mobile app, or app on the mobile telephone, or my car really, useless car, broke down." You give your tears other names, but in the bottom of yourself, it's always the soul crying for Krishna. That voice we want to retrieve. That voice we want to use. That voice we want to awaken. And that is done by separation, feeling separation, and then longing. No? That is the immediate emotional response. Longing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says in the verse, actually, I could go on and on and on. So it happens to be one of my favorite verses of the Shikshastakam. But maybe I stop here and see. Do you have any questions? Yes, I'm looking to someone who might. I saw you with a glance first. Your good name is the father of Veera, I believe. Yes, the Mukunda, yes. We have a microphone for you. No, we don't have, because I'm using it. Am I right? I think so, no? Yes, you are a young man, loud voice, strong voice. I can repeat it, the question, yeah.
In order to feel longing for Krishna, we can read about him and then become attracted to him, or we can hear about him and become attracted to him in the same way we hear about someone and become So my question is, when I read with that desire, then it feels like I'm using Shastra to, like, as a means to an end, and then it becomes mechanical again. So I was wondering if you could advise on how to read Shastra to make it feel more organic.
Yes. One can long for Krishna. This can be awakened, this arrested feeling if one reads. But sometimes when I read with this, I might do it opportunistic, or I might become mechanical. Mukunda, there's something you need to know about communication. When we get feelings from people, it's you know, if you enter the way how this happens is, when you are with people, you feel their feelings. Have you ever seen being with someone who talks so friendly, but you feel, I want to move away? Because you communicate with what is called the energy or the heart chakra of the person. Have you all felt this? You're in a conversation and it goes its way according to convention, and all you think is, when does this stop? When can I go? And yes, I have this often. On the airplane, for instance, there was this steward who talked so friendly, and I knew he wanted to have a, you know, good write up of how nice the British airplane treatment of its passenger is. I said, we can do this very fast. Give me your piece of paper. I write a good recommendation. You feel the heart is not there. However, when you are next to a person who is feeling Krishna consciousness, ooh, Mukunda, it comes. You don't even need verbal communication. Therefore it said, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Lava matra, it's the 11th part of a second, is already enough. What do you talk in the 11th part of a second? Finished. You know, there's no information in this. But it is conveyed through what he is. What a devotee is speaks much louder to us than what he speaks, what his words say. I have seen this in my association with Prabhupada, and you can hear this from, there are so many good informations about Prabhupada, that when you were in his presence, you just felt so Krishna conscious. You just felt, it was transferred to you, this. A lot of things are transferred. Those who like mystical things, it's chakras, you know, chakras, the heart chakra, what is there. But some of us don't like this, so I will not talk about it. It is some feeling which we get in the association. Ask the mother and the father. The baby cannot speak anything, but when the baby is in an affectionate mood, you feel it. You think, my little baby, poor. You know, and so on. There are many, many more important things than words in this world. So, when you are with devotees, you hear, like, what is a method is you must hear the author when you read. You read the author, Shukadev. When you go to the purports of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, their moods, and then it comes to you. There's an article by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who says we must read the author.
Okay.
Like when you read, for instance, the Bhagavatam, just be there. There's Shukadev Goswami and the king who has now perhaps only 4 days left to live. His urgency is increasing. Or you go into the stories. There's Uttara. Uttara comes to Krishna and says, "My Lord, don't leave me." Now Uttara has just experienced how her husband Abhimanyu has been mercilessly killed by 7 cruel Kuru Maharajis, and Krishna didn't protect Abhimanyu. Now the same Uttara comes to Krishna and says, "Krishna, please, there is a weapon coming towards my womb in order to destroy my embryo." Uttara says, "Please save me." So much faith. It had not been shaken when her husband was thinking. So you read this situation, and don't just read the word, read the situation when you are in the Bhagavatam. So much good instructions come. But yes. Hare Krishna. Yeah. I'm Tim, I can take one more Mataji, but let us ask this. It is a related question or about Hindu Tattva? No. Related. Good. Yes. Yeah.
In our daily lives, how do we know what is Krishna's desire?
In our daily lives, how do we know what is Krishna's desire? Because the confidential devotee places Krishna's desires above his own self. May I ask you, do you want to do this? Do you want to place Krishna's desire above your own desire? You have a desire, and Krishna's desire is totally different. Do you want to hear and then follow Krishna's desire?
Yes, Maharaj, I need your mercy for that.
Yes, we're coming into troubled waters here. If you give me your mercy, Maharaj, then... No, we're asking what is in your heart. This is not an easy one. I want to do this. I see things this way. And the Krishna conscious thing to do is totally opposed. What do we do at that time? We make compromises. That's what we are. Why not speak about it? Because we need to hear more about Krishna. We need to become more in love with Krishna. Prabhu's bhakti is not an intellectual exercise. It is you will have to cry all your tears for Krishna. Yes. And then you can enter his world. And this, there is fortunately a path to do this. In kirtan, our heart gets softened. I talked yesterday with 2 very nice devotees. I asked them, "How is it for you to sit so long in kirtan?" And they gave very encouraging answers. Yes, sometimes I don't like to sit any longer in kirtan. I'm so tired. And also there are larabas in my, this is particular Americans, energy bar that's available in my cottage and so on. But then I think, come on, this is your chance. Stay in the kirtan. It is Krishna's desire. How do you find out Krishna's desire? Prabhupada says you have to ask the spiritual master, actually. But here's the difficulty. When the spiritual master tells us something we don't like him any longer. No, this is the reality of life. Therefore, sit in kirtan, your heart will soften, and you will certainly want to do what Krishna wants. It will be so natural. It's not an austerity any longer. Do you know that you cannot find anyone who does the service of a mother and pay that person? It's unpayable what the mother does, staying up so many nights when there is some problem with the child. The services of a mother to a child cannot be purchased in this world if it's a real motherly care. Why can the mother do it? Out of love. So it's not an austerity for the mother to do. Of course, they look tired like ghosts, our mothers sometimes, and so on. It is hard, but they wouldn't do it any other way. They wouldn't want it any other way. Sometimes out of exhaustion they may say, oh, what did I get into it, becoming a mother? But the moment the baby cries, and needs a mother, all thoughts are gone and the mother will take care of the child. Out of love. So this love is coming through kirtan. It is already there in a potential form, but it comes through the kirtan that you will do. And you can see our kirtaniyas, some of them, most of them, which I know, are really willing to sacrifice travel. They go here and there, everywhere. They sit for long hours in the kirtan. Although there's pizza served outside the kirtan, they're not going because they know this is now my service time. I should do this now out of love, out of affection. First, maybe out of intelligence because they don't want to lose their service. Then after some time, a genuine feelings come. We have chance. Our chance is in the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, Mataji, that I gave a very tough answer. I hear I'm generally a friendly person, but I wanted to really use the opportunity to make a point. Good. At this point, we will end. Thank you very much for listening.